If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Deliciously Ella podcast with me, Ella Mills, and my husband and business partner, Matthew Mills.
Hi everyone. So this is our last episode of season two, which is quite something. It's flown by. And today we have a very, very special guest with us. So occasionally you meet people in life and they just completely blow your socks off. And about, I guess it was 4 or 5 months ago, the lovely Nicole, who's the founder of self-care company, got in touch, and she came over and met just me initially, and I was just bowled over by her story and her bravery and her courage. And a lot of the focus of this season's podcast has been on people who have been able to move from really difficult situations to a much better place in their life. And in many ways, I link Nicole's story to my lovely and inspirational wife, who went from illness to a much better place in her life. And I think just sharing these stories will hopefully provide great inspiration for people. And so, Nicole, welcome, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
And so how about we start with, can you just give your story?
Yeah, absolutely. I never really fit in when I was younger, in the sense that at school I wasn't academic in the slightest. I always kind of wanted to create things in a way. So I left school with two GCSEs, and I guess when in that period between the summer, between leaving high school and starting college, I realised maybe an academic kind of life isn't for me. So I started a club night. At 17 years old, I started working in clubs illegally.
And this was in Brighton,
And this was in Brighton. Yeah. So I just, you know, I gave up on the idea of going to college, university. It wasn't for me. I was always getting kicked out of class, not necessarily because I was naughty, because I couldn't concentrate. But anyway, in that summer, I was, you know, walking around Brighton and trying to find a job, trying to make some money. So I then became like a flyerer for one of the clubs on the seafront. So from a very young age, I was exposed to the kind of the world of the club scene. So drugs, alcohol, really late nights, not a healthy lifestyle at all. And I was in that world for about 3 years. I stopped flyering and actually started my own hip-hop disco night at 17 years old. We saw about 900 people come through the doors every Monday. So
amazing.
We were absolutely smashing it. We were the student night to go to. I was so young and naive as well. So, you know, we were making a lot of money, a lot of cash, had no idea about tax and the mess I could get myself into. I was drinking during the day to fly off my night. It was a really unhealthy world that I was in. And one day I just out of nowhere had some horrible symptoms, you know, shooting chest pains, breathlessness. I just couldn't breathe.
Had you ever experienced anything
like
that?
Nothing
like
it. No, never, never, never. But I just assumed, I'd never heard of panic attacks. I'd never heard of anxiety. I just assumed, you know, my heart is, I can't breathe. I'm getting all these shooting pains, I feel like I'm going to collapse. So we rang the ambulance. That was one of the moments which really shook me up big time. I think in a way, when I look back on it now, I was probably trying to escape in some kind of form. I got seriously bullied when I was younger. heckled, and my self-esteem was just on the floor. So the club nights, I guess, were
a kind of release from that.
Yeah, just a complete escape. But it got to the point where I couldn't even stand in my own on the dance floor of my own club night anymore, because my anxiety was so bad from that one panic attack, from the first panic attack I had at 17. I was experiencing them every day, and I had no idea how to stop it. I was just paralysed.
Were you given any advice on how to stop it or how to control them?
No, not at all. I signed up for some therapy with the NHS, but I was put on a 10-week waiting list. But by that point, it was kind of getting too late.
You stopped doing the club nights, were you still having the anxiety attacks?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, I stopped doing the club nights. My best friend, one night after a severe panic attack, I was not living at home at this point. She you know, linked my arm and put me in a taxi and took me to my parents and said, Nicole needs to get better. She's really not okay. Every day I was trying to figure out what was going on. I didn't understand my symptoms in the slightest. OCD started kicking in. Certain mugs I couldn't use. I couldn't leave the house without having a huge panic attack. Had to move my mattress from my bedroom into my brother's room because I was so scared of dying every day. Mm. And I just didn't understand. That was a pinnacle moment which changed my life massively. And that was basically from after the time having to leave my club night life and that world. I then obviously had no income, but I had to somehow find a way to survive. So temporarily, I had to sign on to the job centre, which is something I really didn't want to do, but I had no choice at the time. They would give me job interviews to go and turn up to so I could get my...
Get your life back together, yeah.
Yeah, to get my life back together and find my feet. During that time, I just ran out of every job I was ever in. So then I went back to them. I went back to the job centre and I said, look, I can't do this. Something isn't working. You know, I've been to all these job interviews, but I feel like I just can't do it. I'm so anxious and I can't explain why. So they said, right, okay, well, in that case, come back next week and we'll see what we can do. Then sadly, tragically, the day before my next appointment, I had a call from my good friend and he told me that my best friend had just taken her life. So I went into that appointment. I really didn't want to, but I had to because I had to survive. I needed the money. And I remember just waiting for my slot and I was just in absolute, I was just distraught. I was in tears. It was just the way one of the job advisors spoke to me. It just took me over the edge and I got quite destructive and I was taken away by security and I was put in a room on my own and my job advisor came in and she said, you're too mentally ill to be on job seekers allowance. We're going to have to put you on disability allowance. So there was, she said I'd have to wait around 8 weeks for that to happen and my money would be sanctioned. So I wouldn't have an income basically for 8 weeks. Mm. And there was just no compassion or empathy for what I had to listen and what I heard the night before. That moment really for me was where my life kind of turned around because I left the job centre and I said to myself, I'm never going back in there.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever. So it was actually as I was walking out of the job centre, I was walking past a bus stop with a massive A board for the Prince's Trust.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in, you know, omens and, you know, things happen for a reason. So I signed up to the Prince's Trust that same day and I followed my dreams on, you know, setting up a mental health platform for young people to explore the connection between creativity and mental health. So with that idea, I took that to the Prince's Trust, and they were so incredibly supportive. I had a lovely mentor called Mary, who was this lovely old lady, and she was just what I needed at that time, that maternal, motherly woman who was just like, you know, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So that was so life-changing for me. So I was running Don't Just Stare, which is Self Care Co's kind of sister platform, and the concept is to build workshops and implement them in schools, colleges and universities.
And so did your life start to get better then?
It did. It did for a while.
Were you still having attacks? Or?
Yeah, I was still so anxious. Every day was still a battle. I was just so caught up in anxiety.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, even if I was meeting new people, I would say, hi, you know, my name's Nicole. I'm feeling a bit anxious. And that would be my thing. For years, I was so caught up. So from then, my partner and business partner, Adelaide, convinced me to move to London.
Yeah.
So, you know, fresh start, let's just try and make this work. So I moved in with her, and initially was just so overwhelmed by London and the busyness and just, but in a way it was so great for me because it was, I mean, Brighton is a tiny city, you know, every street reminds you of some kind of bad experience. So,
and then you started dog walking, is that right?
Yeah, so that came about. So when I moved to London, obviously I was in the same position as Brighton. I had to make some money and I had to get a job. I was working on Don't Just Stare, but obviously at that time it wasn't making money enough for me to survive in London. So I tried to get into advertising, had a little internship, which I loved, but sadly I had a little breakdown when I was interning. So then that was the point where I realised I have to just completely stop and focus on getting better, because I was spending months on just experiencing anxiety and serious low mood. So that's when my partner Adelaide says, hey, why don't you become a dog walker? And I didn't even realize you could be a dog walker and get paid. So I remember the first dog I had, and he was this puppy ridgeback, and I absolutely adored him.
How did you find him?
I was on what is it called? There's an amazing dog.
Not Borrow My Doggy.
It wasn't Borrow My Doggy. It was Bone Rangers.
That's
so good. So I became a Bone Ranger.
Nice.
And that was the kind of the start to my recovery in a way, because I will just never, I'm so grateful for that time in my life, because, you know, I was spending 10 hours a day in a park with these dogs, and it gave me the time and space to really understand what was happening with my symptoms. And it was an incredible time. It really felt right to be doing that.
And so you started to feel like you were turning a corner then?
Yeah, absolutely. I was definitely, my anxiety was starting to, I wouldn't say disappear. I was still very much, for the first few years of living in London, I was really grieving for my best friend, and I couldn't accept it. I just, you know, I'd wake up in midnight and just like that gasp for kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't accept this. This is so tragic. But being able to be in my own space in the park with the dogs was just so like, you know, I could just actually take a moment to grieve, because I didn't grieve at the beginning. I was just keeping it all in.
Yeah.
And that's probably the worst thing anyone could ever do in that scenario.
So so you're walking the dogs, and then how did you start coming to Pour Candles, which is what Self Co is known for now?
Yeah. So for me, the dog walking was incredible, but my anxiety, constant shooting head pains, that it just still wasn't really going away. So I tried mindfulness groups, therapy, but it still wasn't, I still really wasn't healing. So I then discovered essential oils and aromatherapy, and I adore smells anyway. I'm very highly sensitive. So, like, you know, lighting, smells are so important for how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Just down the road from where I live on Fulham Road, there's an incredible shop called Urban Buddha. And, you know, it's full of crystals, essential oils, and this amazing lady called Millie who runs the shop. And she is just the guru of essential oils. So I went in there one day just thinking, right, this, I need to change my life. I have to find a cure. So she then...
But were you looking for a hobby or?
Well, at this point, I was just looking for anything to cure the anxiety.
Yeah.
Absolutely anything. I was at the last straw. So I thought, do you know what? I feel like the only way is to go down a more holistic spiritual route. Mm-hmm. So this lady, Millie, she gave me all these essential oils and I thought, okay, let's give this a go. So I bought one of those diffusers. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you know a diffuser. Started experimenting and it just, I know it sounds silly, but my anxiety was just subsiding. I was feeling calm, I was feeling present, and it was making such an incredible difference. So from then, I was still kind of, you know, this still isn't quite doing it for me. I really just want to produce something. And I was thinking how I haven't produced anything since I was maybe like a toddler or primary school, you know, when you're like playing with the sand. And I was really craving that because I just wanted to see something and create something. And that's where the kind of candles came around. So I bought myself a little candle making kit and was experimenting with the essential oils and just playing around. I found it so, so, so calming. And it sounds silly, but it made me kind of proud of myself. You know, I created something.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt when I started doing Delicious Yella, having been in such a difficult place for kind of 18 months and felt such a sense of worthlessness and like I wasn't creating or kind of achieving. And I remember like the first few recipes I made, terrible, by the way. I remember feeling such a sense of pride and satisfaction and empowerment in myself by the fact that I had done that. I'd made it and I'd taken a picture of it. And it was, for me, that was one of the most powerful moments of my life. As ridiculous as it might sound to someone else, I completely, completely relate to that sense of kind of ownership of what you can actually do.
Yeah.
When you doubt what you can do, it's incredibly, incredibly powerful.
Yeah, definitely. From that moment of noticing such a huge change in the way I was feeling from, I mean, my self-esteem was just, I felt like
had a purpose again.
Yeah, I finally had purpose again. So kind of what happened was I made these candles and I posted a little picture on Facebook on my newsfeed and people were like, hey, these look great. You know, can I buy one? And I thought, oh my gosh.
And that hadn't been the intention, right?
No, not at all. I just wanted to have little hobby and, and keep my dog walking life, which I absolutely loved. I thought, you know, it feels like such a...
A nice combo.
Yeah, just the perfect combo whilst I was feeling so anxious and kind of unsure of the world. But, you know, before I know it, my lovely, incredible friend Johnny, who works at an incredible design agency, he sent me a private message and said, come into our studio. And then before I know it, we're making this brand. And Self-Care Co., the three words just popped into my head and I explained how I wanted it to look. We really wanted the branding and the art direction to look very calm to the eye and very minimal and that's kind of how it all began.
And now you have a thriving business and you've got multiple people working for you and on this journey with you. And you've got, we've done two collaborations now with
Our second one's launching this week.
Yeah, indeed. and it feels like a full turnaround.
Yeah, it really does. If you told my hip hop DJ self when I was 17 that I would now be running a wellness brand, then I would have laughed at myself. But
And so you have Self-Care Co. and then you also have the Be Kind movement, which is...
So yeah, the Be Kind movement was inspired by an experience I had So it was November 2017. I was just having a meeting with my designers in their studio near Paddington. And I just felt really off that day. On my way home from the meeting with Johnny and the team, I just felt completely out of control at the Paddington Tube Station. It was peak time, and I guess I was so sick of that feeling, that niggling anxiety. I just had had enough. I just wanted it all to be over, if I'm completely honest. I was very distraught and very distressed and kind of contemplating whether to take my life or not. But out of the crowd, one girl just kind of like tapped my shoulder because my head was in my hands, just kind of like trying not to look at anyone or anything. And this girl, she saw I was so not okay. And she linked my arm and she took me all the way home. And that really changed my life. I mean, I wish I had her name or her number, or, you know, I wish I could dedicate, the Be Kind movement is dedicated to her, because it made me realise how powerful kindness is,
yeah,
and how important kindness is.
And it's available to anyone.
Exactly. You
know, anyone can just do something.
Yeah, exactly. We can all be kind. So I had an idea to simply have the words "Be Kind" on a t-shirt. So I set up a prototype, and I think we had about 20 garments in stock. I really just wanted to create, I thought the idea of having these words on a t-shirt to kind of make people think as you walk, if you're wearing the t-shirt and walking down the street and creating,
a reminder for people who are walking by.
Yeah, I've always just wanted to change the way people think with regard to kindness and strangers. I think the idea of the Be Kind movement is to
help look after each other, I guess, in a way.
Exactly, to celebrate kindness and to celebrate kind of unconditional love, especially if someone's in sheer need. It's so important to reach out to others and to be kind. I mean, the movement has grown so much faster than I could ever have imagined. I remember when we launched the Be Kind movement, and like I said, I only had 20 garments in stock on the website at this time, but I hadn't quite worked out how to use the back end of the site, so there was an unlimited amount of garments available for people to order, which left me in quite a sticky situation, because we launched the Be Kind garments online and it just went nuts. It went absolutely crazy. People from all over the world feeling connected to the idea that we have to, the only way
it's just to forward be kind.
Forward is to just be kind. Yeah. It's that simple. It's so powerful, whether it's being kind to yourself or being kind to someone else, being kind to the planet. That's kind of what the Be Kind movement's all about.
Nice.
You know, we live in such a busy world, and we, you know, and this is something we've talked about a lot, especially it feels like this series, and kind of happiness and that quest that we're all on for it. And yet we feel that we're alien if we don't have that sense of happiness, and we don't open up enough to each other about it and share it and normalize everything that you're talking about. It's just taking the time to acknowledge how people feel, how we can support them, because everybody goes through difficult periods for one reason or another.
But if everyone, I mean, it just shows if everyone, I mean, this was an extreme example where someone took you all the way home, but I mean, if you just take 30 seconds or a minute out of your day just to do a random act of kindness for someone.
Exactly.
After that accumulates and it builds up, you know, it would...
It would do a lot.
We would live in a better place.
Yeah, we really, really would.
And so from this journey of a place of what feels like real desperation to a place where, now having got to know you, you seem like you're in a great place, and you've got a great business and
a great
relationship. And
and some gorgeous dogs, one of whom Austin is having a love affair with.
Yeah, he sure is. What would be your advice to anyone else who, whether in the extreme of where you felt or is just struggling a bit of life, what would be your advice to them?
I think really just telling yourself that this moment is so temporary. I think that in itself is so powerful. And for anyone suffering with anxiety, low mood, just know that doesn't define you. You are not the anxiety and you are not the low mood. You are above that. And that's something I've realized in the last year or so. I've been reading so many different books and really understanding the power of our thoughts. And I just think it's so important for us to, I mean, obviously our minds are constantly babbling away with thoughts, and whether it's negative or positive, but it's so important to be aware of those negative thoughts and know that they are not you.
Just thoughts.
They are just thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's something I practice every day, is just positive affirmations. Genuinely, they have transformed my life in a way I cannot explain.
I love the ones you share so much. Nicole shares some, I think, almost every day, at least. Or like most, pretty much every day on the Self Care Co Instagram. And I love it. I know for me, every time I see it, it's such a good check-in of, you know, you are enough, you've got this, like the world's an amazing place. And you always kind of say, you know, close your eyes and repeat it a few times. And I do. And it's so powerful.
And so what is your practice for doing that each day? For these positive affirmations, is it a moment that you take in the morning or in the evening, or is it just something that just kind of goes throughout your day?
If I'm honest, this is something I kind of discovered around a year ago as well. It's just with anxiety, obviously, when you're constantly feeling on the brink of death, and that's kind of how it has felt for me in the past, and feeling so close to that edge gave me this, I don't want to say an awakening, but I almost feel like I see the world now for really what it is. And I smile so much every day, and I just feel so grateful to be alive. I just think there's so much, I mean, it's so hard, obviously, with the way social media is heading, where it's so easy to compare ourselves to others, and there's a lot of busyness, whether it's advertisements in the street or just general trends that we feel like we have to follow, or, you know, how many likes we're getting, how many this and how many that. But like, we all need to remember we are so whole as we are. We don't need to care about that. And I think the universe has an incredible way of working everything. It works itself out if we trust it.
Were there any books that you've read that you'd kind of call out in particular?
Absolutely. I'd say The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle was one I loved. I listened to a lot of Tara Brach's meditations every day, and I honestly recommend that for everyone. Anyone suffering with anxiety, low mood, depression, trauma, grief, she has changed the way I think completely. So yeah, it's powerful stuff.
This whole episode's been powerful stuff.
It sure has. I think it shows just the power of just a small step in a hobby as well, though.
Yeah,
you know, just doing something that is able to either as a distraction or just to give yourself a focus on something outside of what you're feeling. It's just, I know there's such a clear link between both of how your story started. So
yeah, I know for me, starting something that felt that it was kind of mine in some capacity felt so empowering. And like, for the first time in a while, I felt like something was in my hands again. And everything in my life had felt out of my hands and in my doctor's hands, and in just the sense of a complete unknown of whether I'd ever be kind of healthy enough to feel like I could walk down the street properly again. And then suddenly I thought, okay, but I do have this. And there was something about that was, for my mind, incredibly powerful. And I think there's a lot in finding something that you love, and whether it's a hobby or does develop further, and being able to spend time kind of immersing yourself in that rather than solely immersing yourself in things that other people like. And I'm not sure what you found, Nicole, but like, when I started doing what we do, it was so uncool, you know, kale was not cool. And it was, you know, it was really, you know, no one wanted to be involved in it, or kind of wanted to hear about it, or no one wanted to even eat the food. You know, it was quite weird. And, you know, I imagine, you know, you're saying, but people are like, oh, it's nice, you've got a hobby. But actually,
it's like, ooh, vegan candles. That sounds niche. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But then that's almost the beauty of it, because it's so yours, and you're not doing it because it's cool, and you're not doing it to impress anyone. Yeah. And I loved that about it so much, because again, I'm just doing this for me. Exactly. This is just for me.
Yeah.
And I think again, there was something really, really powerful in saying, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to do this because this is making me really, really happy. And mm-hmm.
But then it will naturally, and then make the other people around you happier too.
Totally. Because, yeah. But I think that's had a really powerful impact on just my way of looking at things in the last few years, of stopping minding what anyone else thinks. Like, I hate going out. I love being in bed at 9 o'clock.
Oh my God, me too.
Not drinking, but I hate drinking. I hate loud music. Yeah. I just hate it. I'm such a granny. Yeah. And I don't care anymore if people think I'm a loser, because I'm so happy doing what I'm doing. Exactly.
It's all that matters.
And finding something that helps you get to that place.
Yeah.
And if you love loud music and all the rest of it, that's amazing too. Yeah. But you know, following what it is that kind of resonates with you, I think does have this unbelievable power on our mental health, which, you know, in the mind and the body are also so connected.
And
it's incredible to see how that then resonates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
I think it's incredibly inspiring. And
I'll never forget when Matt first met you and he came home and he just said, that was one of the most amazing, powerful meetings I've ever had, probably ever will have.
Oh,
yeah, I remember.
Lovely.
No, I remember it.
But it's so true. And so this is very sadly our last episode of season two. Don't worry, we will be back. But it's been so powerful hearing your story, Nicole. And I feel like there was no better way to end it, because I think it resonates so much with what we've talked about throughout, which is this kind of quest for happiness and peace of mind and well-being that we're all on. But it's an incredibly complex journey with so many kind of factors involved in it.
Yeah, it is. But I think it also shows the power and ability for internal transformation, and that in Nicole's amazing story, even from the absolute depths, she was able to turn it around. And to know that that ability is within us, I think, and I hope for other people, will just be a really, really empowering message to hear.
I hope so too. So thank you all so much for listening to us.
Thank you. Rabbit on
for 12 episodes.
I know, I can't quite believe where this is the end of season two already, but we've gone over
2 million listens.
I know, which is mad.
So thank you for supporting what for us is like the ultimate passion project. I think at Delicious Yellow, we, you know, as we say quite a lot, what we care about is helping everyone live better. And in doing that, I think we've, you know, really so much as well come to understand that health and well-being, wellness, you know, however we want to describe it, is so much more than kale and broccoli. You know, yes, we know we need our 5 a day or our 10 a day and, you know, all our grams of fiber and all the rest of it. But it's so much about, you know, that 360 approach of, you know, actually really looking after every part of yourself. And I think that's something that we're definitely going to continue to explore, and feel so grateful to all our guests so far for helping us get a little bit deeper into that and shed a little bit of light into it.
Indeed. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
And so we'll be back middle of May. And if there's any topics you particularly want us to cover or guests that you want us to have in, then please do email just hello@deliciousyellow.com and we would love to hear from you. Otherwise, we are sending you all lots and lots of love, hoping you have a lovely week, and cannot wait to be back.
Thank you.